Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2019 season primer for the Geelong Cats. So first thing we're going to do is go through a little bit of a review for 2018 so we know where they're coming from before we look forward to their season 2019. So to start off, 2018, 13 wins and 8th. Probably a little bit unders for what Geelong were expecting.
Yeah, and on paper, especially with some of their pickups, obviously lots of star-studded midfield, and so you do have higher expectations for this team. And one thing that sort of impressed me was the ability for them to replenish sort of outdated players with fresh young talent. But then one thing that I question is that they bring in other outdated talent, which yeah. I think they're just clogging up positions, which sort of throttles the ability for the youth to get a few more games under their belts.
Well, obviously they moved heaven and earth to get their holy trinity together, being Selwood, Dangerfield and Ablett.
Yeah.
But I don't think we saw the best of any of them, to be honest.
No.
This year. In patches, yes, and most of the focus went on Ablett. I think across the board, they had their moments.
They had moments, but you always see flaws in a game. It was hard to see them play out an entire four quarters where you're like, this is the team that's living up to the promise of what they should deliver. And it's not because, I'm not saying they played bad, it's just that the expectations were very, very high.
Yeah.
Well, I think too, the fact that they made finals, finishing 8th, but then got booted out by Melbourne. The credentials over Melbourne were pretty questionable at the time, thinking, well, they haven't won a final, in recent memory. I think none of their team had won a final except for one player.
Lewis.
Yeah. And so you'd have to think going into that with Geelong, with still having premiership players on the side and some of the most experienced and quality mids, you'd think they'd well account for Melbourne in a final situation, but nope, got dumped.
We'll go through their highs for the year. So where are the highs for Geelong you saw in 2018?
Well, I mean, they did have some young talent that was coming through, but I'll go then into that further. One of the parts of the season I wanted to talk about was, seems like from the outside a high, was the way they finished the regular season, where they've belted Frio 158-25, and they've belted the Suns 142-40. They come against Melbourne in an elimination final.
Yep.
So it looks like they're hitting really peak form, but is that just too much of a soft workout for them going into a
soft
tough competition?
In. Yeah. Well, especially the Frio game, because from memory, they were down at quarter time.
Yeah.
And then kicked 21 goals in a row?
Yeah, because it seems like I don't know if it's totally split, but there are differentiating ideologies when it comes to how to prepare for finals. Yeah. And a light hit out is one thing that was generally looked as a favourable way to go into finals, because you're not exerting too much pressure on yourself, not risking injuries. However, they've had hit outs which are very advantageous to them, and they've just looked like they were nowhere. And I don't know if they're related or if that was just the fact that Melbourne were too good in that final.
Well, if I put my expert hat on, which I'm always wearing, I think it's when you have easy hit outs like that, and the game's iced from about halfway onwards, players start playing for themselves because they know we're playing finals.
Yeah,
I want to be in that squad, so I need to now rack up a few possessions or get a couple of easy 1-2s just so when the names come out on Thursday for finals time, I want to be on that sheet.
Yeah.
And I think you get in that habit 2 weeks in a row, and all of a sudden the next game you're like, you're still trying to pad your stats a bit.
Yeah.
Instead of it shouldn't happen Geelong. You should have guys like Dangerfield, Ablett, Selwood, etc. all saying, lads, this is all how it happens. You need to be flat out trying to get the game won.
Well, I mean, there's lots of 1-2s around that midfield, which some look at padding stats, so maybe they are taking a page from the leadership book.
Yeah, there was plenty of stad padding going on. But for their highs,
stad padding.
Yeah. I also had Tommy Hawkins. I thought he had a good year.
Yeah.
Besides getting a little suspension for touching the ump, but he looked dangerous in most games. And they also had an All-Australian in Tom Stewart, who was a consensus All-Australian from about the halfway mark.
Yeah.
Ended up in the back pocket in the side. But
that's nothing bad. I'm pretty sure Geelong were rated statistically the best defensive team last year.
Well, they had the best percentage in the league.
Yeah.
So they could score and stop scores. Well, against, they had a few blowouts that helped that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the last couple in the year, like we spoke about. Also, another highlight I had for them was the game against Melbourne down in Geelong with Tui scoring a goal after the siren. Yeah. You could see it all happening in slow motion too. It was always going to go to a mark in the forward 50. You just didn't expect their half-back flanker to be the one that marked it. Nothing better than kicking a goal after the siren.
No, and I mean, it's one thing to obviously be a gun backman that he was playing when he was at Carlton, but Geelong have this ability to turn key defenders into, you know, front defensive and attacking footballers.
Into attacking footballers,
and I don't know if because they've got enough talent there that just allows the player to discover that themselves, or if that is what they're actively looking for when they recruit.
Yep.
But they've seemed to do it very well, and obviously Harry Taylor was a prime example for that team, but they have recruited some other players that are capable of this as well, especially young kids.
When Henderson went down, I think he only played two or three games for the year, and he was their linchpin in their back line the year before. Blitzarves goes from a running ruck rover to full back and beat a lot of decent full forwards on the year. Unlucky not to get a mention for the All-Australian nod.
Yeah, and I feel like they've definitely missed Henderson through injuries.
Yeah.
He's, you know, obviously another one coming across from Carlton. Wasn't it Carlton? Yeah. Yeah, he started, started at Brisbane, then went to Carlton.
Yeah.
Again, great talent at both ends of the ground, and he was one that could fill in roles that when Harry Taylor or someone gets caught up with the one-on-one competition, you know, having a task of, you know, trying to lock down a key forward line for opposition, he was one that could step up. So I feel like players like that, they missed sorely through injury.
Yep. So lows for the year then for Geelong. I think we've already covered their finals a fair bit with Geelong. The other low I had was against the Bulldogs with Harry Taylor missing one after the siren.
Yep.
And a very gettable goal too it was at Marvel Stadium, so you can't even blame the wind.
Yeah, yeah. One of the lows I had for them, when looking at who you're going to compete against in finals, one of their big losses at home was against Sydney, where obviously at home Geelong are a force. It's a different environment for a lot of teams coming to. You don't get to go there very often. And they had it in the balance to play for in that fourth quarter, and they gave up 7-4 to 1-1 in the fourth to lose it.
Yeah.
And they were leading by, I think it was around 4 goals at three-quarter time. That's just not what you expect from that team. You expect, with the talent and the leadership they've got, someone's going to step up and make sure that Sydney just don't have the ball.
And they've had a lot of trouble with Sydney at home, actually. I remember quite a few games that Sydney have upset them down there.
Yeah.
I think another low for me would be young Mitch Duncan in the 2016. He was emerging into a superstar. Mm. They bring Ablett and Kelly in, and I think he took a massive step backwards.
Yeah.
And I thought he was really on the cusp of emerging.
I think he was still in the top four for the best and fairest.
Yeah, but he didn't really have the impact that he did in 2016. Okay. Like, I think best and fairest, sometimes players get votes on consistency, which is fine, but you know, I was expecting him to take Ablett's spot, and he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think Ablett coming in was the right idea for him either, and the fact that they tried to play Ablett as the midfielder that he's always been, and he's not that player anymore.
Yeah.
And it already looks like they're going to play Ablett this year down forward, which I think is good because it means Duncan's going to be in the middle more. And when we're talking about the highs, we should have mentioned Tim Kelly because they pulled him out of the waffle.
Yeah.
Never mind all the off-season trying to get back home bullshit. He played like an absolute champion.
He did.
So there's no doubt about that.
We're seeing that more and more now. Some players getting pulled out of obscurity in the second-rate leagues and doing brilliantly. So you wonder, why aren't teams doing it more often?
Well, I think they are now. Yeah. Especially with they've changed the drafting rules so that you can sign supplementary players from the state leagues. Mm. And I think they're even going to have a mid-year draft this year for state league players, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, maybe somebody just wasn't right when they were 17 or 18.
Yep.
And took a couple of extra years to develop.
Well, I think there's very, very few 17, 18-year-olds that have instant impact or lasting instant impact.
A handful a year, if you're lucky.
Yeah, and even then, normally they'll have a brilliant 5 or 6 game period, and then they just kind of fall back to around average, below average kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is what you expect as a young lad.
It's that thing, you know, if you stick your head above the parapet, he's going to get shot. So a lot of them are just not on the radar, and then they show what their talent is, and so other teams have to make a concerted effort to try and shut them down. And that's what you want to see from the young kids, those young 18-year-olds, is how they approach that, how they rebound, what other ideas they have for their own talent. And it also comes into their direct line coaches as well.
Yep.
Something I'm sure that's talked about a lot with first-year players.
Yeah, but when so many of them never played against men, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
But it, mind you, the waffle certainly didn't hurt Kelly.
Waffle's a different sort of league as well, though.
And let's be honest, they only got him for one more year.
Yeah,
he tried to move heaven and earth to get back home, and they kept him. So hopefully they can get him playing and tell him to drive up his own price.
Was that the one where Frio were like, "We're pretty keen, you mate," and he's like, "Oh, I'd rather go West Coast."
Yeah, pretty much. So let's have a look at their list changes over the off-season. And really, I look at it and I see they're just trying to make themselves a little bit younger.
Yep.
Their ins are Dalhouse and Rowan as the known players. Now, Dalhouse is a very handy player, but if all the whispers to be believed, is a bit of a shit behind the scenes. So,
yep.
A change of scenery usually fixes that up.
Yeah, and I mean, Geelong, a little bit more isolated town. I mean, it's not that far from Footscray, to be honest. But,
just down the road.
Yeah, but hopefully, you know, they can isolate him a bit from a lot of distractions, a bit more leadership there as well, and he's not there to be the leader.
Yeah,
I'm not super optimistic about that, to be honest.
No.
It's still a bit too close to Footscray.
I mean, I feel like looking at their list and the young kids and a couple that performed last year, they're just looking at that small, speedy forwards so they can create pressure. That seems to be the game plan at the moment. Collingwood were the ones that did it the best last year. And Geelong looking to be able to have that option if they need it.
Yep. We've also got Gary Rowan, who you know, he's an all-Australian class player when fit.
Yeah.
And
the
problem is he hasn't been fit and without injury the last couple of years, but fully firing. Geez, he's got some toe and he kicked some goals.
Mm. They got him for nothing, didn't they?
Basically. Well, I mean, they're sort of, you know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Your 15th best players, both of them.
Yeah.
And they got rid of their own 15th best players, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
In their outs. But, Rowan and Dalhouse, fully fit and with their mind on the game, they're going to be very handy.
Yeah.
It could just be handy.
Could just be the experience of them as well, looking to impart that on to the young people.
Both premiership players too, I think.
Yep.
From memory. Their other ends, they got Billy Brownless's lad through a father-son, but he probably won't play this year.
And seems all right. Like it's hard to tell from TSC. You never really quite know. Mm, But he was definitely a focal point up forward and a bit of a leader.
He's a tall lad, but you know the big lads, they take a couple of years anyway. So we might not see him this year. And to be honest, if we don't see him in 2020 either, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yep.
No, not when you've got Tom Hawkins up there and then you've got Blitzars pitching forward and you know a whole bunch of other talls emerging.
Others coming through, yeah, exactly.
You can take your time with Oscar.
They're outs. Aaron Black, who was handy, and I think might have surprised a few people that he's still on a list.
Yep.
But he's playing mainly VFL. Bit of backup. But good workhorse, good journeyman.
I really like Aaron Black, his highlights. He's one of those blokes that on his moment, he just does those amazing things, but then he just, you forget he's on the list, like you said.
Yeah.
If he delivered on his potential, he would be spectacular. But how many AFL players we say that about?
Yeah, he was. You knew what you were going to get out of him. He just wasn't consistent or good enough and didn't really get enough opportunities. I think this was his third club as well.
Yeah, but there's so many players. Like Aaron Edwards was the other one who did North and Richmond and just flashes and then vanished.
Stuart Cramery was another
one. Robin Nahas as well. Very, very unlucky.
Well, yeah, but that's because he's running around with his massive cock.
Well, he still was a rookie at 35 years old, I think.
Stuart Cramery, it was the same thing. It was just brought in for 1 year. Yeah. As a bit of backup. Corey Gregson and McCarthy. McCarthy had gone, is he the one that's gone up to Brisbane to be with his mate Lachie Neal?
Sure.
I think he is.
If you can spot any of them out of a lineup walking down the street, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, Gregson, you can. He's got a massive mullet. He hasn't got a mullet. He's got a massive melon. George Hall and Smith.
Pot kettle black.
Yeah, Thurlow and Jordan Murdoch. They're all out. So, I mean, these are all your filler players that they've sort of got rid of. And Dan Menzel, who I was very surprised.
Yeah.
Because when he was playing, he just kicked goals.
Yeah.
Which is what you want from forward, really.
Fucking nice.
Well, it is, but I think their strategy is going to change this year. Probably looking at 1-2 out with Hawkins rotating through.
And Ablett down forward.
Yeah, and they've got another couple of young kids that'll come through.
Jeez, I'd love to see an award being best fragile forward.
Well,
there'd be a few running around.
You say Menzel's up there to start with. But,
Menzel, Danaher, Waite.
Paddy McCartan.
Yeah. Throw them.
Jonathan Patton.
Actually, it might be best non-fragile forward would be a much smaller list.
It's Buddy Franklin. all right, so let's have a look at their draw. Their double ups for 2019. They got the Crows, Hawks, North, Sydney, and the Bulldogs twice. So it's a lot of locals. Only the one Crows, the interstate ones. They're all about around the mark, aren't they?
Well,
really, those teams.
The double ups, I think, they'll let you know where they're at. But their first eight rounds, when you look at it, which I'll have to bring up here, Collingwood starting at the G, which is a great way to start.
Yeah.
But then you're going on to Melbourne at Goomba, so they've got them at home. Adelaide, GWS, Hawks.
Eagles and Essendon.
Eagles, Essendon, North. All those teams are about where they want to be, except for probably, you could say Collingwood and the Eagles are a bit above, being the reigning grand finalists.
Just looking at that, besides Adelaide, I think, most of the first six games are against last year's finalists.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's a tough opening sort of stanza for them, but it'll definitely let them know where they're at. And, to me, if they can give North a fair pasting, then they put themselves in the top six. But if they drop a handful of those, you're going to have a hard time slotting them in.
Yeah, let's say after round seven, if they're, 4-3, you go, all right, you're laughing here. They'll coast this in.
Yeah.
They'll get a couple of the lower-ranked teams at home later on in the season. There's their percentage. Mm. It's, I don't know where they're going to finish on the ladder, but I know their percentage is going to be about 115.
Yeah.
Because they just always are, Geelong, for some reason.
Yeah, they always manage a few massive blowouts.
Yeah, once they get 10 goals up, they're 20 goals up before you know it.
Yeah.
They love a run-on. And it's been that way for about 50 years, I reckon.
Yep.
Yeah. But the round two match against Melbourne, to me, is the very big indicator. Because they got done in the finals last year, which you mentioned. And how they back that up. If Melbourne can run over them, that could really affect their morale for the whole damn season.
They beat them twice in the regular season last year, the Cats over Melbourne. And the first one was when Maxi Gawn missed a shot with seconds left on the clock. And the other one, obviously, like we already mentioned, Tui after the siren. So they can hang with Melbourne. It just when it came down to the finals, the pressure was just too much, and I think age showed a little bit there too. So what's that round two against Melbourne?
I think that'll be a great match.
A massive one.
Melbourne and Geelong have had great matches for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. Well, the last, like I said, the I think the total margins in the two regular season games was about 4 points.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest issues they had with that game was that they didn't have a solid plan B or C for losing ruck contests because they've got a gun midfield and you just assume someone's going to be able to get it.
Yeah, we're going to get the clearance.
They were consistently behind Gawn, and now with Bruce there as well, you don't have a chance in the ruck, so you're going to have to be defensive-minded and from the get-go.
The other thing is, too, I think Melbourne matches up very, very well against Geelong because look at the way Geelong plays is just give our mids room and let them go, and then you've got Melbourne, who've got McDonald, Viney, the other bald fucker,
Jones,
and they just don't give their opponents any space. Yeah. They're very accountable midfielders, and Selwood will bleed every chance he gets. He's like the Ric Flair of AFL.
Yeah, well, Jordan Lewis will make sure of that
exactly. And their midfields aren't afraid of the sight of blood at all.
Mm.
Their own, the opponents, they don't give a shit.
So who's in for a big year then for the Cats?
I've got one of the players who I was alluding to earlier, but I wasn't going to go into it then. It was Brandon Parfitt, who, 21 years old, had some amazing games, especially as a young, speedy, well, technically a midfielder, small forward. And that's why I feel like they're the players that they're looking to give some game time into so they can have that small pressure forward structure if they need it. Well, and it's
part of the upside of Applett spending more time up forward is there's another position in the midfield for guys like Parfitt to play, you know, 60% of the game there.
Yeah, and looking back on his year, this will be his third year in 2019, so 21 years old. Last year, he averaged 18 disposals and 4.5 tackles. So obviously, disposals means you've got a good awareness of the ball. You know how to get it, how to use it. But more importantly, is 4.5 tackles a game as a small running player that generally doesn't have to be too accountable. That's exactly what you want to see for that game plan. It looks like they're trying to be capable of implementing if they need it.
But especially with the new 666 rules, having an accountable midfielder is going to be so much more important because you can't rely on your teammates to be around the ball all the time, especially in the centre bounces at least.
Yeah.
So you're going to need to know where your player is and know when to run off, when to pick up. Mm. So if you can then tackle the shite out of them, all the better for you.
Yeah, and it's just those 1%ers that you have to the group mentality when you're applying that pressure because everyone has to know where they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to be set up. And so if you get these kids when they're young and get them into that habit, then it'll make it much easier on your talented midfielders because you can't just let him run free while you tag or double team one of the, you know, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield.
It's going to be interesting. I've also got down a big year from Ablett down forward.
Yep.
Because the 666 means that it won't be as crowded. Tommy Hawkins is a nice focal point.
Yep.
And if you've got Ablett running underneath him and directing Tommy as well, that's really good. My only problem is it might be too obvious of a move to make Ablett a permanent forward pocket that the coaching staff might go, well, that's too obvious, so let's change it up.
Yeah.
Let's put him across halfback.
Yeah. Like, some things are obvious because
they're the right
smart
thing to do. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's obvious to drive a car with your hands, but you know, you want to trick people up to use your feet. It's probably not the best option.
A perfect analogy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Although Dan Ricciardo could drive with his nose, I reckon.
Tim Kelly is going to be an interesting one, like we set up at the top, because had an absolute breakout year last year in his first year. We know he's going to go at the end of the year. He'll want to play as well as he can. Well, Geelong certainly wanting to play as well as they can because that drives up the price for whatever they can get for him.
Hope he goes to the Western Bulldogs. He's like, that's Western enough.
Somehow I don't think that's going to work out that way. But a bloke playing with motivation and obviously a shit ton of talent is certainly one to watch. I've also got down Dangerfield because I feel like he's really had a good off-season. And he looks like, you know, he's a little bit... He came over here to win premierships.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like they're getting that close at the minute.
He looks great in the AFLX. And I say that having... I just watched the draft. His banter was awesome. For me, it's Nekai Cockatoo.
Yep.
How is he going to develop? He's always been that player who's had flashes of just what the fuckness.
Yeah.
But he hasn't... I don't think his 2018 was as good as his 2017.
No, it's a lot of time in the VFL too for him. Last year, but he's got the nous there. It's just, I think this will be his fourth or fifth year.
Yep.
Running around, so it's be better for it.
I think it was drafted 2016, 2015,
something like that.
But he should have been an automatic inclusion now. But as you said, in the VFL, and a player with his potential should be starting to deliver on it now.
Well, I think he's got to be best 22, really, when you look at the outs, because the outs are a lot of those guys that were filling in the, you know, the last four spots on the list. So he almost has to be by default, and you don't want it to be by default. You want him to force the issue.
Yeah.
The other big one, I think, is Radigalia, the massive ruckman, who I think broke his leg or something last year and missed most of the year. But when he did play, geez, he was a force to be reckoned with. If you can get 20 games out of him, that changes the makeup of that team a lot.
There's many ruckmen that do 20 games a season these days.
Not these days, no. All right, so who's on the outer then? Who's on the chopping block for Geelong? Who's in trouble this year?
I think just Cam Guthrie might struggle to actually hold his spot based on what's coming through. And hasn't really... I mean, he came out... When he didn't come out, but when he came out of his shell and started putting together really, really consistent games, he dropped off the year afterwards and never quite recovered that form. And I don't know if he's afraid to step on people's toes or if he's just lost his way a little bit, but it might be trouble for him, I reckon. They could swap him out for someone else to fill in a role that they need.
Oh, I just reckon he's got another career as a Tim Minchin lookalike.
Yeah, he's a bit, isn't he?
When he finishes.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's dropped off ever since he swapped Guernseys with Chris Judd.
Yeah,
the last time they played Juddy. I reckon his brother's in more trouble. Because his talent ceiling's a little bit lower.
Yeah.
I think, Zach Guthrie. The other one I had was Henderson, who's you know, pushing up in age and injuries last year. It's not good for you personally when you spend most of the year on the sidelines and somebody takes over your job and does it better than you.
Well, yeah. And it's not a knock on him. I think when he was fit, he was a really, really talented player.
He was.
Definitely would hold down his role. But, yeah, you know, if you're not on the field, then you can't really be much worth to the team.
It's hard to stake your claim when you're not there.
Yeah, yep.
And Harry Taylor, too, is just on age.
He's 32.
Yeah. And it was well publicised that they tried to shift him forward and after 10 games, I think he can kick one goal four or something like that. And you could say he's playing a role and all that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, you're playing that much time up forward, you've got to be kicking goals.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a weird unit, Harry Taylor, and he's loved by all down there, but it might be just, you know, this is his last go round. He's there for leadership value this year, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And he could be of the status that he tells you when he's had enough, or you just have
I agree.
A beer with him, be like, "Is it, are we really doing it again?" You know, and if he says yes, like, "All right, we're doing it." But
I think there's a scale on these things. Like he's at the fan favorite level, not the club legend level.
I think he'll go close.
I don't think he's quite there. Whereas someone like Gary Ablett, if he says I can go around another season, you kind of have to.
Well, yeah, but you're comparing him to Michael Jordan. Let's just drop the bar a little bit.
But yeah, I don't think he's quite at the club legend level.
But I think that their age demographic at the moment, because like we said, they've gone young. They got rid of a lot of mid to older 20s and only got in Rowan and Dowhouse, and the rest are rookies.
Yep.
So it's not like they've got a lot of aging players. They've got a few. And he just happens to be one of them. I think he's there for the leadership and, you know, half as a coach as well. If he decides to call it quits, I think they won't be too disappointed. Yep. And when he says, I want one more year, they'll probably go, one more is enough.
Yeah,
I reckon that's where he's at. So where do we see him finishing? There were 13 wins and 8th last year. How's 2019?
Well, I've bought into the hype for another year. I think this is like 4 years in a row I've bought into the Geelong hype. But I've got them improving, finishing 5th. Yeah. I feel like they've got a system now where they can move players around and not just stuck to one game plan. If it doesn't work, then they're in trouble. It seems like that's what they've been gearing towards, and I'm just really, not really impressed, but I'm interested in the recruiting they've done and how that's going to play out. I think they do have a lot more options now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a little bit of improving them up to 5th, playing finals, but not get the second chance.
A couple of extra wins than they had this year.
Yeah.
Josh, this is one where we've quite split the difference. So you got him improving. I've got him dropping down.
Tell us why.
Yeah, where you got him?
Well, I got him 10th. I just think they're going to... a lot of their matches last season were close, despite the fact they had massive blowouts as well. I just don't think you can rely on winning those all the time. Even though they've got one of the most experienced midfields, I just don't think their forward line is going to be as potent as some other ones. Like Gary Ablett, champion player, absolute legend of the game. But he's not playing the role he's used to for most of his career. No. And while he's still going to be bloody handy, you have to think, if I'm picking forward pockets that I want right now, there's a whole bunch ahead of him. Like, for a start, I'll put Eddie Betts right there. I'm thinking he's going to play that better than Gary Ablett. In the midfield, Ablett have him on toast. But there's a bunch of other players too where you just think they know the position better and a little bit sneakier. Whereas Ablett's obvious.
Yeah, I've got him at 8th, which is holding steady, but... The only reason is, like, on paper, they should be lower, and I would have said 10th, but they find a way to win.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is the experience in the midfield and that kind of stuff. But I just think that it's going to turn sooner or later. Now, if Ablett spends more time up forward, I think that's actually better for him and better for the team makeup as well.
Yeah.
But, and God, this is a risk saying it on a Geelong podcast. I reckon the narrative is going to turn on Selwood this year.
Yeah.
I think on Joel, that is, obviously, his brother who gives a shit. I think that a lot of the behind-the-play stuff is going to come more to light now.
Yep.
He's always gotten away with it. They're going, no, he's a champion.
You go,
but that's another little punch. You know, while the umpire's not looking. And he's the kind of player that would watch the umpire, right, he's not looking now, and then go, oh, what, he retaliated, there's my free kick. There was one against Richmond with Edwards on the boundary in the first 10 seconds last year, I remember it. And I've just gone, nothing was said of it, though. And I think it's just going to weigh up and people are going, that's once too many now. And I mean, other players are going to say, I've had enough of that.
Yep. Well, there is a certain amount of veteran moves you let some of the guys get away with. But in the JLT, he did one to, I've forgotten, Bagley, I think it was.
Yes. Edmund. Yes. And, a little tummy touch.
Both sort of one, and he's thrown like a fist into the solar plexus. And Bagley's gone down like a sack of shit. Yep. And everyone's saying, oh, he's staging. I'm like, come on, it's Selwood. I don't think we're going
to
really.
And that was the one I was trying to remember.
Throw the bouquets out there. But if the umpire's going to start paying that, like just the tummy tap sort of thing, Selwood's going to have to change his game because a lot of his free kicks come from that sort of shit. But, and the, you know, knees to the ground kind of thing.
I think he's the type of you that even if I get fined for this, I don't care if I get a free kick now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's his game. He's always played that. He's like, as long as I win this game, I'm fine, which is, on one hand, very admirable in a senior player. On the other hand, he is one of those blokes that in 10 years' time, there's going to be a lot of damage done to that head.
Oh, there already is, without a doubt.
He's one of the few players that actually bought into the theory of take it one game at a time.
Yep. Yeah. and you can't question his bravery. And that stuff. He's very happy to put his head on the line and take it on the chin. But I just think that the narrative around it might change. And if it does, he won't like it, and that's going to be to their detriment. I mean, there's obviously a fuck ton of talent there still. Mm-hmm. So I got him finishing eighth, which is right on the same as last year. So it might be another year of sneaking into the finals and see what damage they can do from there.
Yep.
All right, that'll do us for Geelong.
Peace. Yep. Good luck.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.